It's well known, I think, by all socially minded married couples that the chief snag in getting away from it all to the sparkling Mediterranean, where brand name detergent packets bob lazily at the water's edge, and big girls from Ilkley stand in the sea up to their bottoms, which are printed with such interesting slogans as Prime Rump, Watch Me Wiggle. I've forgotten what I was going to say. Yes, too much scene-setting, as my publisher keeps telling me. Cut all that and get to the corpse, he's always saying. Whereas my wife, Diana, known as Magnolia Badminton to a large and half-witted readership, can do 19 pages on a Sardinian sunset. Her illicit lovers not even running their fingers through each other's hair yet, and the readership begs for more. Don't think I mind this. I'm just giving you the monstrous facts. Ah, yes, I've remembered what I was going to say now. Namely, that the great drawback about going to foreign parts is not knowing anybody when you get there. But there's a middle ground here, and that's not knowing somebody who has a villa out there and whom a friend at home does know and wants you to. It's simply absurd, you and Gerald being on the very same island and not meeting Sarah, even if it's just popping over for a drink one day.
Is she really? She isn't. Has she really a villa? She hasn't. Have you really?
You haven't.
You haven't. Well, that's absolutely sweet of you, actually, to write. Well, it would be simply absurd. I mean, all on the same island, we'd love to. We'd love to do that, pop over. Wouldn't we, Gerald?
Don't promise anything.
Of course we will. I absolutely promise.
Oh.
Just a tick while I find a pencil. Trouble is, we've packed everything. We're off tomorrow. Pencil, quick. She's giving me the address.
All packed, sorry. Couldn't use a pen.
Give it me, you fool. What? I was talking to Gerald. He sends his love, by the way.
And a terrific kiss.
And a terrific... No, no, it's all right. No, it's just a toast crumb.
Who is that?
Right, ready. The Villa Moroni. Is that Moroni as in moron? Right. And it's where? Oh. I think you'd better spell that, sweetie. A for anteater, yes. P for penguin, yes. O for ostrich, right. L for lovely. Yes, that's lovely, yes. E for what? Elephant, right.
Oh. Yeah. This is us. Row 29. Do you want the window?
Not really. I don't like to see Alps.
Oh, that's good, because it's F. We are D and E. Well, go on, darling. Get in there.
All right. Can you take these two bags?
Oh, just about. Wedge them on me.
Oh.
That's the idea. Your feet down there?
No. Come on.
Ah, good.
This is the captain.
Oh.
Good morning, ladies and...
He's decided not to tell us.
Well, I must say, sitting here in the luxuriously cramped conditions of modern aeronautical achievement, covered in hand luggage and nowhere to put your elbows... Oh!
Darling, what is it?
Oh, it's agony, that's what it is.
Good
heavens! One of these seat springs is coming through.
Oh, I call that disgusting. Oh. I'll get one of the... I don't know what you call them. Hostess, could you look at my husband's seat?
Oh.
As soon as they're airborne, madam.
He's airborne now. His springs are loose.
No, they aren't. Look, shut up, shut up. It's these blasted things. So get them out.
There.
Here, under here, damn it.
Don't want to let her touch you there, mate.
That's right, miss. You'll have to marry him. Watch your head.
Stand up a minute.
Hmm?
Mind your head.
Ow! Oh, yes, that's very nice.
I did say mind it.
No, really, Diana, I thought you were supposed to be in charge of the duty-free.
Well, I was. There, is that better?
Oh. It will be when the bruises fade.
You don't feel anything now?
Only what you would call a deep-seated resentment. Why?
Nothing. Only that you're sitting on...
No, it's first rate there. We always stay there. Don says it's more like home than Booth.
We never. Fancy?
Oh, sorry, love. Was that your fault?
No. Not at all. Not at all.
Dom, you go on. Come on, love.
You realise they'll all be staying in our hotel and doing the native dances and the disco under our room.
You don't know that.
Oh, well, I don't know much, but I know that much. What time's take off?
10:10.
What's the time now?
5:11.
Oh, pretty good for an aeroplane. But I think I'm still sitting on something.
Oh, that's what I was saying. Darling, could you check these cell doors and the paperbacks?
Saying what? When?
Cameras, binoculars, and those.
For heaven's sake, woman.
Just now before those bootles went past.
I don't know why you got that stuff. Don't tell me it's a dry hotel.
We shall have to take something when we pop over to Lydia's. Here, my typewriter.
Now, what do you want a typewriter for? Stop! Not there, do you mind?
What do you want a briefcase for? One briefcase.
Why can't you put them on the spare seat, for Pete's sake?
It's only for a minute while I pull. Besides, we don't know it's spare yet.
We do. Everybody is on. What are you doing, girl?
Just pulling. You're on my safety belt.
Well, be careful.
Ease up a bit, then.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Now, will you get all this junk off me and onto the other seat?
But they haven't shut the doors yet. We might still get someone.
Oh, all right, all right. If I can just strap myself in under this lot, I'll have a bit of much-needed shut-eye until takeoff. Nice dream about being buried in a rock fall.
Oh, I should wait a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know Daniel Lambert?
No, shut up.
Yes, you do. He was the fattest man in the world. 54 stone in his socks.
Your boarding card, please. That's right, sir. Thank you. 29F. Here we are.
In the window, are we?
I told you. It's Daniel's grandson.
Gonna be a squeeze, ain't it? A bit stout, you see.
Excuse me.
A bit on the stout side, that's my trouble.
Excuse me, sir.
Gerald, wake up.
This is the captain.
The captain? Would you and madam kindly let this gentleman...
On behalf of the cabin staff and myself, welcome aboard this...
A bit awkward, little bit stout.
Yes, if you and madam would kindly come out in the aisle.
It's the greatest of pleasure. But it's going to be rather... Oh, darling, can you take some of these?
No, because I've got to get out too. Go on.
Charles, thanks very much, Governor. Thanks, lady. Charles, very much. nearly there now.
Oh, yes.
Look out, he's going to sit on your seatbelt.
I can't hear.
I said, watch out, he's going to sit on your seatbelt.
Cheryl, shush.
Cleared for takeoff, I'm glad to say.
Go on, get back in.
We shall be flying at 33,000
no,
feet.
No, you first.
Get
flying
in.
Time will be 5 hours, 15 minutes.
Come on in, Jack.
And
don't
we
be
hope
shy.
You'll have a very calm, comfortable and enjoyable flight. Thank you.
Oh, we shall, we shall.
There, see, love.
Yeah.
Offer my old charm with my leg in a bit more.
Thank you.
He's been stout, you see. He runs in the family. Now, my dad was very stout, on the stout side. So he got stuck in the turnstiles once on South End Pier. Love, you ought to see him. Oh. Mum says, she says, Dad, she says, they're going to charge you for two one of these days, she says.
Just say that.
So it was a perfectly normal flight. Right from takeoff to our bags being the last two off the roundabout thing at Journey's End, just as we thought they hadn't been loaded. Besides, we had charming company all the way. What with Diana's bulky boyfriend telling her all about his blood sugar count, and a little female tot kneeling up backwards in the seat in front, pelting me with plastic spoons. People complain about flying, but it's wonderful, really. How else could you climb up a gangway in boisterous health and your best trousers, and only 5 hours later climb down again in a crumpled wreck? Marvellous. And 3 days after that, you can be almost on speaking terms again, lying on the silver sands with nothing to bother about except getting your strength up for the flight back. But one way of telling real life from literature is that in real life, a lot of people don't matter. Or they only matter once, and then not much. Now, it is different with literature. Take my last book, for instance, You Can Only Die Twice, which has a terrific new twist, and I'm not going to spoil it for you. No. £4.95 at any good bookshop. But what I'm saying is that if I'd put a fat man on an aeroplane in Chapter 1, together with some Liverpool ladies and a little girl who pelted the hero with cutlery, and none of them ever showed up again, it just wouldn't be ethical. I should be drummed out of the Crime Writers Association without ceremony. But if you'll forgive another amazing revelation, every rule has its exception. And the exception this time was someone I never thought we'd see at all, let alone again. Viz, namely, and to wit, Diana's friend's friend, Lydia, chatelaine of the Villa Moroni, as in Moron. After a fleeting appearance in Chapter 1, she'd gone clean out of my head. But not out of Diana's, I'm sorry to say. Oh, no. On the Monday night, as we finally got down to our wish-you-were-here postcards in the terrace bar, you need a few stimulants for that job, Lydia came looming out of the starlit night like a monster from out of space.
Isn't this stuff?
Oh. Cheers.
Diabolical. Cheers.
Ah.
Hmm. Ugh. It's distilled from the local lizards and fermented with antifreeze and rotten coconuts.
And just a touch of... Is it dry cleaning fluid?
I think it's creosote.
Let's have two more.
I just ordered them. While you were doing Mr. Next Door Giebel. Do we always do old Giebel?
Always.
He never sends us one.
He never goes anywhere.
Ah, that's right.
Besides, he does have the cat.
What have you said to him?
Just a minute. I've said, darling, don't stir your drink with my ballpoint.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was mine. Here.
Thank you. I've said, wish you were here, love to the cat.
Oh, I like that. And he has the house keys.
Should I send love to them?
No, I mean, when he's responsible for the house burning down, the least he can expect is a... What are you sending him? Let's see. Yes, two blondes on a rock. You don't think that's too exciting? He's not a young man. Ah, les drinks, per favor. Merci, waiter.
Prego, senor.
Grazie, garçon. Mettez-les sur the addition, d'accord? Chambre number 15, okay?
Honeybill, room 15. Righto. Nice evening now.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, very bell. How did he know we were English? Could have thought he'd be glad to be spoken to in some of his own languages. Cheers.
Cheers.
Ugh.
I expect only the English drink these. Excusez-moi. They mark us out.
That could be it. Who else have you done?
Like tennis courts.
I beg your pardon?
Like they mark out tennis courts, I'm really saying.
Yes. Well, I did marry you for the sense of humour.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes, yes. I said to the matrimonial agency, I said, I just want something about 3'5".
I'm taller than that.
About 5'3", I said, who makes terrific jokes and costs next to nothing to get plastered. Have you done the Twistletons?
Just a twig. Yes.
Yeah, so have I. What have you said?
I can never think of anything to say on postcards.
Is that all?
Well, I haven't said that, you dope. I've said, post's very primitive here. Hope this gets back before we do. What have you have said?
I've said, probably see you before you see this post dodgy.
I like yours best. I'll tear mine up.
No, you stabbed yours.
I'll tear yours up then.
Right. Darling.
What? Who said that?
I was only going to ask...
Oh, hello.
Hello, darling. I just wondered
hello,
why...
Hello, darling. Cheers.
Cheers. I was just going to ask why you've put your stamps in the left-hand corner instead of on the right.
That's easy. It says on the right, affix stamp here. Oh, nobody's going to tell me where to affix things. They want to mind their own business. I'm going to write that under where it says affix. Mind your own... This pen's not writing.
Other way up.
Oh, I'm obliged deeply, thank you. Mind your...
I say you've written a hell of a lot on that one. Who's it to?
That one. Whom that's to is... Just a minute, it's got a drink on it. It's to Mr. and Mrs. Gerald C. Potter, yes.
Why are you sending them one?
I don't know.
I mean, if you're wishing they were here, they are.
That's right. Oh, I know it isn't from us. I forgot to tell you, it's got mixed in.
Ah.
It's from the Villa Polonia, as in Polon. It came up with the breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Toast, coffee and picture postcards of old gentlemen, very gnarled, with fishing net around their big toe. Pop over for lunch Thursday. We'll meet you 12:30 outside cafe with check tablecloths. Can't wait to meet you. We'll lead the way from there. Ask for Lydia. Everyone knows me. Signed, Lydia. In brackets, friend of Ludie Westinghouse. I'm exhausted. Look, my drink's empty. Call the waiter. Waiter!
Waiter!
Garçon! What's his name?
Harry?
No, Raimondo!
Fred!
Waiter!
Well, I was too stunned to speak, frankly. Quite apart from not forming words too easily at the time, owing to the pesticide liqueurs. By a stroke of good fortune, however, she had fallen asleep by the time the waiter came. He'd been busy with a party of 12 from South Shields who were playing Happy Birthday to You on Combs. So I was able to prop her up in the lift and point her at room Quindici, knowing that any potty notion about trailing off to see somebody we didn't know, in a villa that would be the usual tin shack stuck halfway up a hillside with outside water pipes, was just a drunken aberration which a night's sleep would wipe like a slate. It did with me, thank God. It was a cruel awakening, therefore, when I found her shaking my foot and speaking to me in Jabberwocky by dawn's early light.
Gerald. Gerald? Say it. A polyorchestropapodastritsa.
I'm not ready.
Yes, you are. Say it.
Where am I?
No, not that. You know people in real life never say that. Apoliocastrapapalastritsa. You'll have to be able to say it to ask the way.
What are you doing at this hour of the morning, fully dressed in your swimming knickers and curlers?
Never mind.
I dreamt I was typing.
That was me in the bathroom. I didn't want to wake you. Chapter 9 of Hearts in Chancery.
Oh, my God.
Wake up. Are you awake? You're awake. Now say after me. A for anteater, P for penguin. Listen, can't you? You know it's Thursday.
Not if yesterday was Sunday.
When we go, you dummy. Thursday when we go to Lydia's. O for ostrich.
Is she in the zoo business?
No, she's not in any business. She's in the Villa Moroni.
Well, I'm going to have a shower. Oh. Perhaps you would very kindly release my foot.
Please take it.
Very kind. Oh, nice cool floors here.
You're tanned quite a long way down.
Thank you.
And up.
Well, it's the least you can expect for £1,000 and the bar bill yet to come.
Yes. Were you a bit stoned last night?
I'll be quite honest on 2 points. One, I think I did have to be propped up in the lift.
I expect I did that.
I am obliged deeply.
Gerald, darling, don't get in the shower, Gerald.
No! Blast it! Struth! Showers are not the place to put typewriters. Perhaps you would take this.
I did try to tell you. You haven't broken it.
Yeah, I think it's only a sprain, but painful. Point two.
I think it's all right. Point what?
Two. Being quite honest, remember? You do realise that we aren't on any account going Thursday or any other day to waste beautiful, costly sunshine seeing someone we don't know and don't want to just because she's got a corrugated iron hut with an outside loo and a donkey blocking the door and happens to have a bossy friend in West Sussex who writes letters of introduction nobody's asked for. Diana?
I think there's something funny happened to this semicolon hammer.
Don't worry about it! I expect it only needs a cold compress and some witch hazel.
One of the literary clichés which I wouldn't personally touch with a barge pole, though this isn't true of all writers, especially if you include card-carrying members of the Romantic Novelists Association, is a thing where a character says, wild horses wouldn't drag him somewhere, and at the start of the next chapter they've dragged him. It's another difference between real life and the printed word. Actually, in this case, there was a touch of the fait accompli. It turned out that Diana, who'd wanted to save me any trouble, had already written to her friend's friend, saying, wild horses wouldn't stop us popping over on Thursday, we just couldn't wait, looking forward immensely, etc., etc. Well, I'm guessing at the actual text, but I bet I'm close. Also, she hadn't wanted to trouble me with hiring a car, or diabolical old banger for the minimum period of 3 days, £75 and find your own earplugs. So she'd done that too, which was immensely thoughtful, but she's like that. Cliché or not, therefore, Thursday morning found us on the road, such as it was, much too early for comfort, though not before the village shop was open, a sort of moth-eaten Harrods that sold everything from nail files and espadrilles to flypapers and fruit.
Stop a minute.
We've only just started.
Yes, but we've got to take her something.
Well, we're taking her a bag of booze.
She mightn't be a boozer.
Then she could sell it. Use the proceeds to get a few windows mended. A couple of buckets to catch the leaks.
It might be quite watertight.
It's only a shanty, an old shanty town.
Just because you don't want to go, you needn't be a horse in the manger.
Better than a donkey in the loo. Oh, go on then, get shopping.
Right.
Remember, we've only got 5 hours and it's a good 20 miles. Don't bang it!
I'll be as quick as I can. Don't go without me.
Oh, well. Who needs driving mirrors? The roof is so slanty, it touches the ground.
So I settled for a bottle of plonk, 2 apples, a chunk of cheese and some black olives and a free carrier bag. Do you think that'll do?
She won't know how to thank us.
You're not listening. That's our breakfast.
Oh, wonderful. I shan't eat the bag.
Oh! What did you do that for?
I didn't. The car did. Hang on a minute. Could you hold that gear lever in top?
This one?
I think that's best in these cars with only one gear lever. Thank you.
No, what I've got her is Turkish Delight, bath salts, 2 pounds of chocolate ginger, and a pen and pencil set in genuine goldeen.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I think I shall fork left here.
They're all in front of the back seat.
Hold that lever.
Or in back of the front seats, as they say in America.
I think I should have forked left.
In the booze bag. I think if she gets all that and the airport scotch, we shan't look too ungrateful, don't you?
I said hold it!
I know, I'm sorry.
Get your great fist out.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Yes, well... Oh, you needn't be, actually. Slowing us just on the edge of this gravel pit.
I did! Just like Balaam's ass.
I wasn't going to say that.
Oh, well done me. Let's have breakfast.
Well, why not? Lovely view. Reminds me of that place we broke down outside Rotherham that time. Serve the cheese first. I need to get my strength up to get out of here backwards.
Is that your last olive?
All but the stone.
Not spit in the bag.
Is it yours?
Mm-hmm.
Spit then.
Is that all? Let's look. Olive pips, cheese rind, 2 apple cores, 1 plonk bottle. Good.
It would have been more fun spitting the pips out of the window and throwing the bottle. Now then, how's your neck?
Very well. That's what gives the English a bad name in foreign parts, littering the beauty spots.
Screw it round then. You'll have to look out of the back window and talk me out.
Right.
Oh, heavens. Hold us in reverse, will you?
Right. Steady as you go.
Both hands, damn it. Both hands. Stick the bag over the back.
Yes.
Oh. Right. Are you in the holding pattern?
Very much. You're clear to start your descent. Half flaps. Judy Westinghouse says she's a fan of yours.
She does? I'll autograph her when we get back.
Not her, Lydia Moroney.
Well, that's even better. Something to talk about.
Now, only if she starts it. We should have to concentrate on saying how lovely everything is, because it'll all get back to Dodie. You will do that, darling?
Oh, of course. What lovely holes in the floor. What a lovely outside loo.
Look, you know what I mean. You mustn't embarrass her.
No. Good heavens, no. We can tell her about some of the villas we've rented in our time. Where the water kept going off, and when you put the toaster on, all the lights died.
Signpost, look! Apollio Castro Popolo Strizza IKM.
I don't believe it. 1 kilometre. Right on the glide path. Pilot Potter triumphs over fearful odds. And Navigator Badminton, of course.
I wasn't going to say that.
I wasn't going to let you.
Look! The unspoilt fishing sea!
It was, too. We'd made it. And as Miss Badminton always puts it on about page 296, little remains to tell. In fact, plenty remains to tell. It's just too painful, that's all. But I'll give you a quick rundown from the back inside flap of the dust jacket. Lydia Moroney, or to give her her real name, Mrs. Lymington Smythe Mottram, couldn't have been nicer, nor could the villa. It had 3 bathrooms, 2 terraces, Juliet balconies smothered in bougainvillea, a private generator so that she could have the lights and toaster on simultaneously, 20,000 gallons of water in the basement water tank, a double garage and a boathouse for three boats, but only two boats in it. Mr. Lymington Smythe Mottram, she happened to mention, was towing the other one down through Yugoslavia behind the Range Rover. That is why she had to lead the way in, up through the olive groves, in a common or garden tea registration Mercedes, where she apologized for having to walk up the last bit as there was some hold-up getting the final bit of private motorway done. We left the cars side by side at the bottom of the slope, looking like one of the Rockefellers and a Bronx wino accidentally caught in the same photograph. Yes, indeed, we were so rocked that we forgot to give her the Turkish Delight, bath salts, duty-free booze and Goldeen writing set. And it seemed so silly to go and get them when she was being so interesting about how she'd had the marble staircases shipped in from Italy and things like that. But, as Diana said, we had to leave her a little something, so we put the bag on the Mercedes driving seat after she'd waved us goodbye from some of the terraces, and a note on the steering wheel saying it was a terribly inadequate token of our appreciation. As indeed it was. Because when we finally unloaded the car at the crack of sunset, the first thing we noticed was the bag of Turkish Delight, bath salts, and duty-free booze. And the rest, you know.
Cheers. Oh, yuck.
Ugh. Ooh, heck. Cheers, my darling, cheers.
Darling, do you feel absolutely awful leaving her the olive pips and apple cores and empty Blanc bottle as a terribly inadequate token of our appreciation?
Absolutely awful. Don't you?
Darling, you know we see eye to eye on everything. Aren't we rotten?